Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Horrible Podcast. I am Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona.
One, two, three, clap. Did you get the level you needed there?
Yeah, I did. Thank you.
Little callback to our old days.
I think one of the episodes actually still had, I forgot to take it out. So I think one of our episodes actually still has that in there. The one, two, three, clap in the episode.
One of our episodes has the clap.
I think it's kind of like 50 Shades.
That's one I was on because yeah, the one, who
one of these hosts also has the clap.
It's like the 50 Shades of Grey, how some of them had like sexually transmitted diseases in the pages of the library books. You guys hear about that?
No.
Yeah. Like
they tested them in, British library or somewhere like that? And they tested them.
And I think it had chlamydia. Like there were copies
of. Were they like putting the book in their vaginas?
I think so. Or like rubbing it on their vaginas.
Those would be gaping vaginas to fit like a 500-page porn novel up in there.
Yeah. Well, you know.
Are using
I have
it.
Concerns.
Well, I have concerns like about people who read 50 Shades of Grey anyway.
From the library.
Because I was very curious. I read it because I was very curious because everyone I knew who didn't read books suddenly read this book.
That's never the book you should read, though. Argument against The Walking Dead is people sit there and say, I don't like horror, but I like The Walking Dead.
See, I was fascinated. I was like, I want to know how the dummies live. Yeah. And I read it, and now I know. And I've never been the same.
Yeah. I just remember being at a swimming pool in Florida where a woman was reading it on her chair, and her the chair she was in was just sopping wet.
I remember the summer that
she just
it was,
got out of the pool, though.
Yeah,
maybe that could be. I like to think it was something else.
Did she carry the book between her legs? Because I hear they do that in England.
Betwixt, yes.
Betwixt her legs.
I kept that up inside me for a fortnight, and then I gave it chlamydia.
I jammed this book up and saw me.
But
and then I returned it to the library. Yeah. That's still a thing. And then I returned it.
I took that hard binding and just rubbed it back and forth on me vagina.
The summer that book was most popular,
Fanny.
I only saw two women who came to the pool where we hung out a lot.
Two women who came?
Oh.
Only two of the people who came to the pool were not reading that book, and one of them was just doing a crossword puzzle. I don't know.
She'd finished it already.
Yeah, like she had obviously already read it, but everyone was reading it, and it's terrible.
I want to stick this book at me bum.
This one's starting off with a bullet, guys. It can only go in a few directions from here. And
let's hope it's
not up. Yeah. So this week, what are we doing, Brian?
We are talking about Return of the Living Dead Part 2.
Not the first one. Not Return of the Living Dead, the amazing film.
So if you're listening to this, what we're doing is our Halloween-themed episodes these next 5 weeks, where last year we did the big four, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Halloween. Nightmare on Elm Street, and Friday the 13th.
Yep.
And this year, we debated about doing sequels, and I believe it was Drew who had the idea of let's do not very good sequels or debatably good sequels.
Well, we originally had talked about doing just not second tier, but not the first movies you think of when you think of horror movies. Like we talked about doing. Well, I guess I shouldn't reveal the movies yet. These should be surprises. But we talked about doing Return of the Living Dead. Brian, you have talked about it. You have championed that episode for a long time.
I have.
And then we discussed, like, hey, let's do the sequel.
Guess what? I'm going to champion the original all through this episode.
I know. This movie's so bad.
This movie actually stars two of the main characters from Return of the Living Dead.
Yeah.
And in the same roles almost, James Caan and Tom Matthews.
But
and
they
acknowledge it.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even make call, like, I feel like this has happened before. Arguably, like, also, not arguably, they are probably the two best characters in Return of the Living Dead as far as watching someone change from just being kind of, you know, doot-de-doo or, I don't know how to
do it. Doot-de-doo. So explain.
Oh, gosh.
What that is. What is a doot-de-doo? Exactly.
He's just riddled with it. He's riddled
he's
with
riddled
doot-de-doo.
With doot-de-doo.
I'm gonna skip over that and just say that I am a huge James Caan fan.
Yeah. But they are far outshined in this one by Doc Mandel.
Yes.
Easily my favorite character ever. He's so he made many a scene when I was like, all right, I'm over this. This is boring. And then he'd do something absolutely idiotic.
Hamburger cocktail?
And like I almost waited for him to like pull in his tie a little bit.
Make his, everything wag his eyebrows at the camera.
Yeah.
He also reminded me a lot of the mortician from the first one. Like that almost like comic relief of just over the top. Like the mortician in the first one is obviously German. He's listening to Wagner in the in his headphones. And instead of saying raining like cats and dogs, he says it's raining like, and says the German words for cats and dogs. Geschindenschwangen.
Katzen and Dogsen.
Yeah.
No. The weird thing is that this is a movie that attempts to be all comic relief. And I think that's ultimately one of its biggest faults is that this is the like haunted house to the original Scream or whatever. Like it's just too much and it's boring. Like this movie's just really boring and impractical. Like I love a good zombie movie and also a bad zombie movie, but there's a point in this one where I just wanted to like, in the 1980s, were there people who broke into mausoleums to steal people's teeth?
There are still people who do that.
No. Do they?
Steal heads for rituals.
What do you mean?
He was breaking into he was breaking into graves to steal heads. He had a whole explanation as to why.
Oh, yeah. Skulls, right?
Yeah, skulls. I don't know what these people do with them, but I just get them.
Because they had to be the ones that had been buried. They can't just be like a fresh skull.
Yeah, some weird like.
They had to be. He said it strangely. He didn't say interred. He said entered, I think. He said it in a weird way.
Like a fine wine, I need my skulls to be at least 3 to 5 years old.
They have to be 3 to 5 years interred. Which reminds me, he probably just didn't know how to pronounce interred. Which happened in Clueless as well. Alicia Silverstone, when she did her speech about the Haitians, that's actually how she pronounced it. And the director said, like, don't correct her. Just let this go to print that way. So instead of Haitians, she said Haitians.
My favorite of those ever is in Alone in the Dark when Tara Reid playing, I think she's some sort of scientist, anthropologist or something. She says Newfoundland and not just once.
That's amazing. Well, I mean, you know, that's what you have come to expect from Uwe Boll.
Actually just found the land, so it was Newfoundland to her.
Like every land is Newfoundland to her.
Newfoundland. And they're like, Tara, it's
Don't. She hasn't had her Starbucks.
It's so hard for her to concentrate. Just
so
don't.
Early in the morning.
Like I really imagine her being kind of moved around to scenes. Like, all right. Like she just pops up like a doll when they say action. She's like,
here are my lines. Blah, 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 blah.
One thing I found amazing about Return of the Living Dead 2 was when I pulled up pulling up the Wikipedia page, that's the video cover box I think I know as well as almost any video boxes. Like looking at that one, like even the first one, I was like, what did the first one look like? And then I pulled it up, I was like, oh yeah, I remember that. But this is the box I think I thought was for the first one because it's so iconic.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This movie tricked me once. I couldn't remember, you know, this was before the internet. I was like eight. And I went to the video store. I was like, they had this movie. And I was like, this has got to be it. It's like, this has to be the movie that I want. Because on the back of it, it actually has was James Cameron, is that his name? It has like the main two guys, and I was like, okay. And I got it home, I was so excited because I loved Return of the Living Dead. And I started watching, I was like, I don't think this is the movie that I watched. And then those two characters showed up, I was like, okay, no, I'm back in. This is the movie that I watched. And it took me another 15 minutes where I was like, I don't think this is the movie. Why are these two people still in the same in a different version of this movie? It took me half and that's my first experience with it, and I've hated it ever since because of that. Like, I just couldn't get over feeling betrayed.
You.
Yeah, they betrayed me. And, you know, I actually didn't hate the first act of this movie.
I didn't either.
Yeah, like, I didn't hate the first act of the movie. I thought it kind of set things up. Even if
I like that kid a lot.
Yeah, it's kind of loony.
The Braces kid or the main character kid?
The main character kid.
The racist kid looks like a small Jaws from James Bond.
Yeah, he's like Frankenstein's monster.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, I saw this film in the theater, guys.
You saw it where?
In the theater.
But you can't, because this was before they had theaters.
No, they made this special for... it was a sheet and on the back of a wagon.
Yes, it was. Where you grew up, yes, it was a sheet. That's where I grew up.
They turned the projectors like they were water wheels.
Yeah, exactly.
But Brian, you drove the buggy though, right?
Right, I did. And it had like a little piano player in the front doing the... That was the piano. Like,
thank you. Oh, yes.
That was the scary part coming up.
I mean, it's not like it's a bad movie, but I've definitely seen worse zombie movies than this, but there's something about it, like it seems to have some potential, but from what I've heard, the director whose name escapes me right now,
Ken
Wiederman,
Wiederman,
something like that.
Yeah, Wiederone, I think, or something.
Apparently,
he made Shockwaves.
Apparently, yes. He was really tired of the horror genre, and so this was kind of like a half-assed attempt. Like IMDb says that, you know, actors and everybody were frustrated on the set because he just didn't seem to give a shit about the movie. And you can tell, like, you can tell that he didn't really care that much just in the way the movie was delivered. There are so many scenes that seem so half-assed that it just doesn't seem to work.
Check the gate. Let's keep going.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'd never seen Shockwaves, but I always wanted to, because that's another pretty iconic video box, too.
Yeah. It's fine. It's not great, but it's fine.
Got Peter Cushing.
Seven episodes of Freddy's Nightmares.
And Meatballs 2.
And Meatballs 2.
Which is the best meatball? It's not. Mm. Is any Meatballs the best meatball?
I was going to say that. I don't even think the first one is the best.
The fourth one, I think the fourth Meatballs is my favorite, though, because it just completely, it is a satire of itself. And it's the one that has an alien a la E.T. at the camp. And it also has a character who is very obviously Rocky Balboa, who boxes. And the alien's name is Meathead. It's it's really terrible, but I watched it a lot growing up.
I think also with I'm sorry, Drew, go ahead.
Well, I was just gonna see if anyone had watched all of the Return of the Living Dead at this point, and I was gonna say mostly ask Lona then if she had seen all of them, because she's
seen
all
of
these series. No.
On a podcast, Lona is shaking her head.
Like
Rave of the Dead and Necropolis. Yeah.
Okay.
They were on Netflix for a while. No, I know. Yeah. They were on Netflix or they were on video on VOD, and I wound up watching them, and they were not good.
I remember liking I've only seen the first three, and I remember liking the third one a whole lot, but I was, again, I was eight.
That is another good cover to it as well that I remember.
With the girl with the shit through her body.
You mean
like
the
long nails and stuff like that. Yeah.
Because I thought those are...
She's the mom in the OC.
Is she?
Yeah.
Weird.
It's
time. Time is a weird mistress, man. But I think the movie had some potential. Like, the first act's pretty... I just don't think it... Like, the claustrophobia of the first Return of the Living Dead is what I loved so much. And I think if they had found a way to keep them in the graveyard or in the mausoleum longer instead of just have them flee, like, the openness of this movie kind of ruins it, because then it just becomes this sort of, like, slapdash Blues Brothers car chase sequence that doesn't really work. Like, how does the kid who becomes a zombie at the beginning end up at the very end of the movie? I don't know. Like, it's those things that are just, like
the
script
fight,
needed
an fights.
Yeah, the script just needed another draft, it felt like.
Yeah, it just doesn't have any interior logic, really. It's like it just, whatever it needs to have happen, it just makes happen.
Yeah.
Which is one thing. I mean, I'll sit there and say, my least favorite, I mean, there are some really good ones, but probably my least favorite subgenre of horror is horror comedy.
Yeah.
Because most of the time, it favors one or the other. Like, even right now, like, I mean, that's Scream Queens, and Scream Queens is hilarious.
Yeah.
But it's not, but I mean, other than, like, some blood, that's the main horror thing I see in it. And like with this, like you said, it was just trying to be so much comic relief. It never paused at all to even try and do something scary. I mean, those zombies, they're the worst acted zombies I've ever seen. Like, it's more like they have some sort of weird palsy.
Well, that's what Return of the Living Dead does, the series versus the night, day, dawn, city,
survival,
you know,
all land.
Is they like the zombies are able to talk and joke. Like in the first one, the zombies call the ambulance, you know, they get more paramedics sent. they speak to one of them, asking them why they hunger for brains.
But there was
this one has the get that damn screwdriver out my right. head.
Okay, and like the big difference here is that the first movie was a horror movie that managed to convey some comedic moments. Like Dan O'Bannon was not he was able to capture the humor in the situation, but also have horrific, like, gut-wrenching moments. Like I remember being the first time I ever felt like really true. One of the first times I felt like really truly sad that I can remember was when I watched this movie and realized that this guy, God, I can never remember his name. James Karen, I guess, is the guy. Is he the older guy?
Frank, I think. Is he Frank?
Yeah, he's Frank. When he puts himself into the oven with the song Burn playing behind it, that's the first, like, that's one of my first memories of having, like, actually grappling with the idea of death. Like, that was a very real moment to me as a kid. And it was horrific. But there were also really interesting, like, the conversation with the zombie was, I thought, really well done.
It was good in one.
Yeah. But here they just take everything and then try to ramp it up to 11, and it becomes This is Spinal Tap, but really bad.
Return of the Living Dead is actually is the zombie movie that actually frightened me the first time I saw it.
There are some horrific scenes in that
Night of the Living movie. Dead didn't do it to me, just because of the, it just didn't feel scary. But this one is the one that made me think, I don't ever want to live next to a cemetery because of what could happen when you cremate someone who's obviously infected with trioxin, 2,4,5 trioxin, right. And which is, you know, the military is horrible at hanging on to.
That's the very beginning of the movie that bothered me about anything. There's absolutely no reason to have the guy listening to music and smoking a joint, because none of that had anything to do with the trioxin falling off the truck.
Right.
Like, he wasn't driving.
But it was the
like
80s
driving,
and drugs are bad.
Yeah, but it wasn't like he was driving poorly because of it. He was driving just fine.
Also,
but it's like we're supposed to take from that. It's either supposed to be funny or that's supposed to be like, oh, yeah, that's what it'll do to you.
They wouldn't keep a Jeep at the back just to make sure something like that didn't happen.
Right.
Three up front, none in the back.
This movie,
more bungee cords even.
Guys, this movie is Nancy Reagan approved, okay? This movie just says no, okay?
It's also a pretty bad, you know, electronic lock system that a kid can just sit there and press first two numbers he presses, and that's it. That's the code.
I mean, really, this movie is a satire of the military more than anything else, right? I mean, it's
really,
this.
They all are, like, really. Like, the first one, I remember that one of my favorite lines in the first one was the military guy comes home to this palatial estate, and his wife walks in. He's like, how was work? Horrible. And she's like, what are we having for dinner? Lamb chops? I had those for lunch.
Yeah,
like their interaction was hilarious. Just this old waspy woman trying to take care of her military husband, who is just mad that his whole job revolves around trying to find the barrel.
Lona, what's your background with the of the Living Deads? Like, where do you come into this series? Are you a fan or no? Like, are you a
this specific Living Dead?
Sure.
Or in general,
like, were you a Romero fan, or is this all in your wheelhouse? Like, how do you feel about it?
I'll be honest. I am sort of about zombies in general. Like, I mean, they're fine. They're fine, but I just never. But they're fine. It's like, oh, all right. I am more of a fan of the Night of the Living Dead zombies. I don't like zombies that talk. I don't know why it bothers me so much, but just watching this today, it was one of those situations where I was like, I kind of came to the conclusion that the only weird 80s green things that I kind of want to talk to me are gremlins.
Right.
And this was just,
just me.
What about ghoulies or critters?
Ghoulies are awesome.
Chud.
Chud too, bud. The chud.
I'm gonna stick with my gremlins.
It's a good call. I mean,
it's a quality talking green creature. You can't really argue with it. I mean, even though you all just tried to. You all just like threw out other talking green things.
Yeah, but not because
they're
better.
I'm feeling attacked now.
As you should.
Trigger.
Anytime you got to realize, anytime that you step back from Clue Gulager to No Clue Gulager.
Yeah.
You're going to lose something, and obviously that's one of the bigger issues with this sequel.
See, we don't even want any bone. We don't even want any ash left. Get rid of all of it.
It's just, oh, he's, I mean, and the doctor helped.
Yeah, he came in at the right time because I was really not, I it's been like 27 years or 25 years since I've seen this movie. So I didn't remember the doctor at all. Actually, I didn't remember anything past the kids getting, you know, the tank blown into their faces, just like in the first one.
Yeah, I mean, this movie's, the problems are myriad. I mean, it's, they, like, it's one giant callback to the first movie, but not, like, not in a, in a meaningful way. Like, it doesn't feel like, it feels like they started with the same premise. Like, hey, we're going to do the same stuff at the beginning. But then when they decided to make the script a veer from where, like, what was really successful about the first movie, that's where it is problematic. Like, the early sort of claustrophobic stuff in the mausoleum is actually kind of interesting. I mean, interesting. You have the, I mean, Tarman shows up again this time. Like, this movie's Tarman, played by the same guy.
Oh, first Tarman, too. Oh, like, he didn't even look as good as the one from the first one. Even
yeah.
They didn't have as much money for this budget.
No. But this movie...
budget was like $6 million.
But this movie actually, it ended up making money. It ended up... So it, nine, it was fine. That's why they were able to make a third one. But I think the third one went straight to DVD. I don't think that one...
VHS.
Yeah,
straight to VHS.
Straight to video,
Straight to video. It went to VOD.
I forgot what I was going to say.
This is actually $2 million more than the first one. Although the first one
and
made...
And also the first one has probably one of the greatest soundtracks of any horror film.
Yeah, agreed. I mean, it's Dan O'Bannon. Like, he's... one of the co-creator of his, of Alien. I mean, he's this guy's. I mean, he helped create Dark Star. He helped launch John Carpenter's career. He had the pedigree to make something not revolutionary, but I mean, at a time when zombies, I guess, were just something that were kind of in movies, he made a really interesting, dark, funny vision of it, and it really works. I mean, on a lot of levels, and this movie just doesn't. All of the driving, all of the weird, sticky kind of like slapstick humor, if it worked, it would be really good, but it just doesn't work. The writing was half-assed. They felt like they could cram a bunch of one-liners in it to substitute. Like, one of the things that Stephen King says about dialogue is that you can't let just like mocking talk replace actual dialogue. You know, can't.
Stephen King said that?
Mm-hmm. He said you can't let can't replace actually replace actual dialogue.
What has he done in his life?
I know. What has Stephen King done? Although the newest episode of How Did This Get Made with Maximum Overdrive is pretty hilarious about his one foray into directing.
I love that movie, though. That's so much bad fun, though.
Maybe we should do that eventually, because I love that movie. I'd love to go back and have a real reason to watch it again.
It's so bad, but it's so much fun.
They've already done our same format in How Did This Get Made.
Yeah,
I would have to listen to it just to make sure I didn't make the same jokes.
No, we should just do it word for word and then make the exact same jokes.
Made the same jokes. That's okay, because you are not ripping them off. Then
epiphany, we need to start remaking podcasts word for word as a podcast.
Well, yes, we need to remake podcasts, but then add our own weird flair to it, so it's, you know, we'll update it for teenagers. So if there's curse words, we'll cut down the blood, we'll cut down on the violence, and then hopefully more young people our demo will be a lot younger.
I want to do it in an accent.
Oh, yeah. You can totally do an accent.
Great
podcast.
But it's not going to be like an accent that's like it's the same accent throughout. It's not going to be consistent.
I think you should make up your own
change.
I think you should make up your own language.
That would
just speak like Nil the whole
time. Like spoken wingdings.
Yes.
I think this movie would have been a lot more successful if someone else had directed it. I don't think the script is great, but I think it would be serviceable if someone a little bit who had cared more about the material would have done the movie.
He wrote it too.
So maybe. Like, if you had John Landis direct this movie, it was very obviously visually influenced by the Thriller video. It's like, if you had John Landis do this movie, it would go a lot further, don't you think?
Yes.
Or no? Or do you think the script is so bad that it wouldn't matter?
I mean, I don't think it's going to make much of a difference. I mean, I think it is an ugly, boring movie a lot because of the direction, but I don't think the script has a lot of original ideas in it that needed to be made anyway. Like, that's the thing. It's just one of those where it was it's become the point, like, I love zombie stuff as well, but I feel like I've seen the same zombie movie over and over and over. And that was one of the biggest issues I felt with this, is it was just the same zombie movie I'd seen before.
And nothing
added, really.
Now we have zombies on a plane. Never been done before, except for World War Z.
Yeah. Well, it just feels weird because it's just, there's no, it's a movie that came out in the 80s, but feels like it has stood on the shoulders of 25 years of other zombie movies on top of that. Do you know what I mean? Like, it feels like it came out a few years ago. It's like, oh, this is just a half-assed version of another zombie movie.
They're remaking it, but the soundtrack's all by pop artists, emo punk artists.
Would you support a Return of the Living Dead remake if it were a hard R?
I don't know. Not this movie or the first
one.
I'll be honest, I don't support most remakes. I will go watch them. And I will, I'll be like, all right, they may pleasantly surprise me, but I guess we're getting to that point where there is nothing new and everything just has to be remade. Down into this wormhole here can they even play any new songs?
Yeah. No, but I mean, with this, which feels itself like the first one at least felt like something new and fresh and original, even if it was, I mean, it's called Return of the Living Dead, so it's paying homage to the original. Drew, what do you think about that?
About the remake?
About the idea of a remake of this.
I mean, it just goes back to my idea. I don't think it's one that needs to be remade because it was good. And that's still the problem we run into, is those are always the things that end up getting remade. Yeah. I don't know what that could be added to it, unless it somehow falls in the hands of, someone like James Gunn or someone like that. And so we get the way Dawn of the Dead worked out, where that was a movie that should not have been remade. And then it was, and it's like, oh, well, they found a way to find something new and good to say with it. That's a rare thing that happens.
Do you think James Gunn has enough money now to hire Kiss to come play his birthday party, so when he comes down the stairs, they can sing James Gunn?
I don't know if he still has that much money, though. Those dudes want a lot of money.
I think a James Gunn directed Return of the Living Dead would be pretty amazing. Like, because he has, I mean, he has the pedigree of being from Troma. I think that he would have a really interesting visual style for it. So if he decided to do, he's a big director now, but if he decided to slum it for an indie kind of horror movie and only put, $15 million into it or something, I think that'd be a really interesting movie.
I think if anything was, I could see him doing that in a few years when he's just like, all right, I'm tired of doing these big superhero movies. I want to do something. So I think it will be something horror-ish, because that is where his, that's where his,
love,
he cut his teeth, and that's what he likes.
It's also one of the things where the first movie played so much on all of the fears of the 1980s, like all of the things that made us afraid, including nuclear annihilation, so mutually assured destruction. Like, this movie has none of that. Like, this movie has no paranoia. I would go so far as to say there's no larger theme in this movie that the first movie actually had.
No, I mean, you could have done one, because that deserted, sort of subdivision that they were in, they were still building stuff, but
yeah,
I mean, Poltergeist.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could have gotten something. Yeah, I definitely felt Poltergeist there, and I definitely think you got something out of that. But they didn't even do anything with that either. I mean, there was a lot of parody you could have done there.
The two location, I mean, there's three locations in the first one. There's a cemetery, you need a medical supply, and the mortuary / chapel. And I think that, like you said earlier, Tyler, that they were confined to those areas, that it made it feel a lot. And I mean, they're confined to those areas, and they also wind up confining themselves to two different places, the medical supply place and then the mortuary. But this movie lacks the horror of all that stuff. Yeah, all that stuff in the medical supply store coming to life, the half dog just whimpering. I mean, I don't even like dogs, and that thing getting hit and squealing or crying was horrible. And then the body that came to life, that was horrifying.
It's also that this is a movie that I felt like would have benefited from trying to be too much like the original. It seems like Like, it seems like it would have been better if they had just stuck to, like, all right, let's just put these assholes in another room and have them squeal and cry for 2 hours. Like,
I mean, this is the sequel, yet they never never really, like, talk about the fact that at the end of Return of the Living Dead, they nuke a whole city. Like, shouldn't that be like a, well, last time they found one of those barrels, they nuked the whole city, so maybe we shouldn't call the army.
Well, it feels in a lot of ways like Evil Dead 2, in that it's a more, and I bet they had conversations about Evil Dead 2, because Dead by Dawn is a more comedic version of the first movie. Yeah. And
there's a hand sequence.
Right. And Evil Dead 2 is just a remake of the first one. It doesn't extend the story. It just retells the story. And that feels what this does just a lot more poorly. And I, you know, it was zany, like, but it wasn't funny. They felt like lines that, even if I hadn't heard them, they were telegraphed from a mile away. And they were clunkers instead of actual funny lines.
I'm not into dead guys.
Mm. I did kind of laugh at that too, especially when she gave in, because it didn't make any sense.
Okay, they seem to like brains, so maybe they'll leave you alone, is what the kid says to his
sister. I like
sister.
That one. I like that. The kid's delivery I thought was funny.
Yeah. How about when she locks him in his room and then ties the door shut? I was like, that's pretty serious.
Yeah.
Also, how bothered were you by the fact that those comic books weren't bagged and boarded?
Oh, very. You know, my collection's behind me. They're bagged and boarded.
The first thing I thought, I was like, ooh, these things are not going to be worth any money if you get some bags and boards on them.
Bunch of animals in this
town. A random one behind the desk folded up like he actually read them.
Yeah, so much of this movie is just... Like
Drew, when Drew reads comics, he has a special pair of white gloves that he uses.
Tweezers.
Not to crease the edges. He reads each page, white glove.
So you're saying that it was wrong that when my mom's friend gave Noah like a stack of like 50 awesome comic books, that he took them out of those little Ziploc bags that they were in?
Ziploc bags, that's cute.
Let's not talk about it. All right.
Shall I go put them back up? Because they're like everywhere in his floor right now.
No, that's the...
should go back in the bags.
I'm having a small panic attack at the sound of that. Not a bad one.
Well, I mean, it's pretty quiet when you step on them, though, because it's carpet.
the covers are already ripped off. It's fine.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing to hurt on the inside.
Well, I mean, some of them are black and white, so he was like, coloring books, yay! So that's kind of fun.
Adventure Comics 1. Yeah, I mean...
It's like every horrible little sister in movie ever.
The only subplot in this movie that actually even... It doesn't even pay off... is the grave digger subplot. Like, that's the only one that even sort of carries through the entirety of the movie.
You're right, and it's the same plot that was in the first one. They're doing the exact same shtick from the first one.
Yeah.
His girlfriend even looks like trash, like the red hair, like trash from Living Dead. Mm-hmm. Even though, I mean, that wasn't his girlfriend in the first one, but the only thing that this movie gets right is that in the first one, there is no way that group of people in that car would have ever hung out with each other.
No, absolutely not. It was that sort of like wonderfully random assortment of people that movies tend to have, where you're like, that doesn't, you just made that up.
Two punks, two, like, I guess, emo kids, goth kids, a football player and a cheerleader, and a black guy.
Yeah, it's just like, you know what? We're going to be inclusive. This is our attempt. And it does, yeah, I mean...
But you know,
like all those slasher movies always do that. There's always, you know, it's like, I don't think so. Like,
those people are not going to hang around each other. Like,
no one's hanging out with Crispin Glover.
No, he's not. No, even now.
Great. There's no way that Tina and Johnny Depp would have ever, or Nancy, Tina and Johnny Depp would have ever hung out with the creep
Rod.
With Rod,
yes.
Yeah, I mean,
your nose with a rubber hose.
That's not. He doesn't. He says, what's the thing that he says? Something with a lawnmower? I don't remember.
Sit on a lawnmower or something? It's like
something.
One of those lines, yeah.
But
go fuck yourself with a lawnmower.
Maybe. That's not it. Also, R.I.P. Wes Craven. In a weird way, that this movie is a time capsule to the 80s. Like, it has so many iconic 80s things, like Jazzercise. And
yes,
it's always weird to see people obsessed with it. Like, there is a... I know that there was a prurient aspect to all of that stuff in the 80s, but it's just, the older I get, the more I realize, like, it was more about sex than it was about exercise. And I didn't realize that at the time, because that's clearly what they were referencing here is sex and not actual exercise.
That zombie, because the zombie said, he's like, I haven't had, he's like, good thing I still have a hard on. It's a stiffy.
I wouldn't put that past being in this movie.
It was
those,
in there.
Those lines.
Girl goes, look, he has a stiffy. And the guy goes, he's always stiff. No,
hickory dickory dock.
Yeah. You guys didn't hear that line? Or did I just make that up in my head?
I think you just made that up in your head. Oh, let's rewatch the movie to check for it.
I think we just figured out what we're doing for the rest of October.
It's like, let's rewind the tape.
All the Living Deads.
Nah, God.
I'm going to be busy in October.
I've got to do other things with my time.
Yeah, I'm
some
out.
Things.
So on another note, I kind of did some research. We universally don't like this movie. I did some research into...
Whoa, brother. I never said I didn't like it.
Tell us what you do like about the movie.
Huh?
You literally said that.
What I like about it is that it's a direct descendant of Return of the Living Dead.
Okay. So it's the child of something that you liked.
Yes. Which, so you automatically have to like it.
Yeah. No, I love plenty of kids whose parents are people I like. That's not true. I don't know
that's
what I was
going with. That's exactly what I just said.
That did not work at all.
I don't know where I was going with that.
No, I knew where you were going. I hate some people's kids.
Yeah, he's like, I hate.
I like them fine, but their kids are the worst.
Right.
Like, there we go. That's where I was going to.
Let me be careful, because one of these people may be on my podcast.
So
stop talking about Noah like that.
No.
So some history of grave robbing is a really interesting topic, and the Misfits have 13 songs about grave robbing or body snatching, including "Dig Up Her Bones" and "Happily Ever Cadaver," which I think is really interesting.
Isn't that a Harry Potter spell, the Avracadavra?
No, it's
that was from the Lost Skeleton of Cadavra.
It's something.
Abracadabra is just what lame.
It's the awful.
Say.
Yeah, it's the awful spell.
That's what gets the rabbit out of the hat.
Abracadabra. No, but there was one that was like that, but it was something...
I think it was from that Lost Skeletons of Cadaver movie that...
Hold on.
Oh, no, it was a Steve Miller song. Abracadabra.
Yep.
The zombie will reach out and grab you.
That's true.
Hey, guys, I just made up a new Steve Miller Halloween song.
Let's record it.
Just let him know. I don't know. Is
hey
he
man, that's fun.
He's alive. Yeah, I mean,
is he alive? He's still touring.
He's still what, Brian?
Touring.
He's still touring.
The touring edition.
I wondered if there was something that would, because we all know cannibalism is really bad for you, but I
and
wondered
it's
if
hot right now.
Yeah,
for
it's
who?
In.
Which end? Which side?
Probably the bottom end, if I had to guess. It probably tastes okay,
your hips. It's bad for your hips.
Have you seen my hips? Everything's bad for them.
They go straight to my hips, so will I.
nibble.
But I tried to find some evidence of like what specifically would happen if you ate brains. But it seems like I was hoping I would uncover some kind of like really interesting facts. But it's basically the same stuff as just regular cannibalism. Prion diseases.
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah.
Yeah, prion diseases. And I learned that prion diseases come from eating the bones, marrow, or small intestines. Like that's what infects you, mostly is marrow.
So we are what we are, was full of shit?
I guess.
As long as you cook it, it's fine. It's eating it raw, right?
Yeah.
Is it?
As long as it's over 185 degrees Fahrenheit, you're fine.
Heat usually kills most things.
But a Kuru epidemic, and I don't know what that disease is, but it broke out among members of a tribe in Papua New Guinea because they were eating.
They talked about in What We Are What We Are.
Somebody undercooked the meat.
Well, I'm sure if it was an aboriginal, I guess they're not aborigines, but just if a tribe is just eating members of their own tribe, they're probably not cooking them too.
They're like, oh, it's Tom. It's Tom. I know him. He's fine.
Yeah, he's fine.
Like, hey, I like mine a little
he's
rare,
clean.
Okay?
Yeah, a little undercooked. I mean, you know, it's like hamburgers. They say you got to cook it to a certain degree. You can't get a decent hamburger anymore. You got to undercook it a little.
Any of you guys see Green Inferno?
Not yet. I'm going to this weekend. I have a break next week, at which point I'm going to see a lot of movies.
Is there a hamburger scene in there?
I may go watch it tonight because my air conditioning's broke and I can't live in my house for very long.
It's
that's a good reason.
There was a general mutilation scene that would put Antichrist to shame.
Really?
No.
I recall.
I don't think that any.
I didn't recall one being that.
Oh my God.
That scene in Antichrist was just her. There's nothing to top that. I'm sorry.
I think I watched Antichrist with my mouth agape the whole time.
I thought you were going to say with your mom.
I did see it with my mom. I saw History of Violence with my mom. That was uncomfortable. Yeah, yeah. When the stare.
But that's not that bad. Like, that's compared to. I don't know. Like, I wonder if anyone made the mistake of going to see Antichrist. I guess seeing it with anyone is kind of a mistake.
Even from its title, I'd see it being difficult to make the mistake of seeing that with your mother.
No, but maybe you think it would be a date movie. You're like, oh, look at this art house movie. Lars von Trier. I remember, you know.
All of a sudden, you're Travis Bickle from Taxi Driver.
I know. You're like, ooh, 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 ooh. Yeah, I don't know, man. That movie's tough.
We need to leave. I can't watch this. Wait. It gets better.
It gets the end. It's a metaphor. It's a metaphor, Chris.
Anyway, it was entertaining. Like I said,
I didn't like it.
Green Inferno or Antichrist?
No, I'm talking about Green Inferno. I'm not talking about Antichrist.
My siblings went and watched it, and they loathed it.
It's not a good movie. Like I said, it's not a good movie, but I think it kind of finally delivers, and I think that's the whole point there, right?
Is it better or worse than this movie?
I enjoyed it more. I'm not going to say it's better or worse there. I can say I enjoyed it more, and I thought that was important.
Is it better than the last Eli Roth Presents film we watched?
Yes, I thought it was more interesting than that, although it's got a lot of the people from that, so it kind of feels like you're watching a version of that, and it's written by the guy who wrote that.
Oh, that's
It's got some bad dialogue. The whole first act is the worst acting and dialogue I've ever sat through. It's bad. Like bad, bad. And you're like, I'm like, oh my gosh, if this doesn't get any, oh, thank, finally we're in Peru and now they're eating people. Okay, this is better. Because at that point, bad acting, everyone's just screaming. So you can act, you know, bad acting and screaming.
I don't have to go watch it now.
Oh, but I'm not telling you about all the gory stuff you get to watch.
Is it going to be impressive gory stuff, or I'm going to be like, oh?
Well, no, that's the thing. I said, I felt compared to the Hostels, which I never felt lived up to their billing. I mean, I thought this did. I mean, it's not like the most extreme thing. I mean, it's some of those things I wondered, though. I did wonder how it got an R rating with some of the sequences. I'm like, wow. I mean, I'm impressed that it got an R rating and isn't sitting with a not rated or something like that. So, I mean, it's like you did finally make good on that part of it.
You guys, I got real fucked up. I told you I would. I did it.
Essentially, yeah.
I mean, Attack on Titan was not rated, and it had nothing of. I guess we're at that level where biting people in half by giant creature isn't that disturbing.
As long as there's no blood.
There was tons of blood.
Oh.
Yeah.
So, Drew, would you say? So you're saying that this is you can't really make a value judgment versus the earlier Hostels, but this more lives up to the extreme horror mantle that the others were supposed to?
Yeah, I mean, I think it finally, I mean, that's the thing I think more than anything is he'd been promising us a bill of goods for several movies. And I always felt that was where those movies disappointed with, you know, it's like, oh, they're awful characters and it's not very interesting. And then it's also not living up to this horrific thing you promised there. I thought this did more than any of those did. And it still wasn't good. In the sense of, like, I mean, it wasn't like
quality.
You know,
guess
but,
what? You don't have to.
But
do
it did. But I think it accomplished. But neither is. I mean, Cannibal Holocaust and Cannibal Ferox and all those. They're not good either. I mean, that's. I mean.
Yes.
But you know, I mean, I think Cannibal Holocaust is still better. I would just watch that if I've never seen that.
Now we don't have to do a Green Inferno episode.
Because basically, what we've learned is that it's like you finally took Eli Roth out on a date, and he finally let you get to third base with him.
Yeah. Kind of.
I like to think that all the other
we didn't have sex or anything, but
third base. Yeah.
Yeah. He was Ty Westing slow burning us with all his other movies, and this movie was finally his final.
Someone had to wash their hands at the end of it.
Yeah,
it was fine.
I would call it instead of Ty Westing us. I would call it the Westing game. I think I would like to do a, and this is not for podcasting, but I think I'd like to do a mini episode if anybody would want to talk about it. Not as an official thing, but I want to go see it and maybe chat with somebody about it. It is one of the bigger horror releases this year.
We'll just wait for it to come out on VOD or
whatever.
Yeah, whatever.
Well, that might be that might be an interesting time to do it when it actually gets, when it gets released, where it's a wider thing and people aren't talking about it as much, to come back to it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that might be.
I think it'd be worth an episode, because
we could watch it.
We could
do it now and then release it later. Anyway,
It's like that Mr. Show episode with the call-in talk show that's on the delay.
So, what do you guys? All right, brass tacks. Would you guys say that they should should we watch Return of the Living Dead Part 2?
No,
not really. I mean,
no.
Unless
there are better horror comedies.
You're like a horror junkie, and I imagine if you're listening to this, most of you are, and just kind of want to see it because it's, you know, it's as bad as it is, it's still part of like the 80s horror catalog.
There's a lot that's part of the 80s horror catalog that I don't know if you need to see. And
no, I think you see all of it.
I think this is definitely one of those.
Like leave it off your list. Like, yeah, it's just not. It just doesn't come together.
Don't put it on your horror bucket list.
I'd say have you seen Return of the Living Dead? Yeah, then you've seen Return of the Living Dead too. It's exactly the same.
Yeah, it's. I mean,
but worse.
Yeah,
but way worse.
Watch the first one again.
Yes, which I really wanted to do after seeing this. Like, I don't want to watch the first one again.
I do too. I still want to really watch it.
Cleanse your palate.
Yes,
yeah, with a much more horrific, frightening, terrifying movie.
And fucking trash from the first one. Oh,
and Clue Gulager.
Yes. I had such a crush on trash. Like, I remember pausing the VHS tape when she did her strip tease on top of the crypt or the tombstone, and being like, "Oh my god, I think she's actually naked down too." But she was so white that I couldn't tell if she was naked or wearing a leotard or whatever. It was such a great time.
Such a great time to be a kid. Am I right?
Was. I was like, "Oh my god, that's
a teenager.
She's showing vagina."
So I would say don't watch it. I would say instead of getting into this movie, get into cannibalism as a hobby.
Some long pork.
Yeah, long pork.
I would say watch Green Inferno over this. I would say that.
Okay.
Hey, I would say if you're in a foreign country and offered human flesh to eat, give it a shot.
Would you?
Don't be rude.
No. If someone offers it to, I'm not gonna go searching it out. But if someone offers it to me, shit, I may try it.
Yeah.
I mean, like. I'd have fetus. It would be delicious.
Probably already have if you're eating American beef.
Well, I mean,
own a panda for Planned Parenthood.
Well, that's, you know, like my second abortion, I actually kept it and made, you know, some women do like that placenta soup thing. Mm-hmm. I made fetus soup.
Can I hang on to this?
You should have made dumplings.
I was like, do y'all have a paper? No, I don't want plastic. I want a paper bag.
It gets all wet and bloody?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, yes, I swear it's not a baby. It's not a baby. Look, it's all bloody and shit. Definitely not a baby.
I'm saving this for later.
Would you riding home on the bus?
I hitchhiked.
Take a little nibbles. Like, this is good. No, I think, wouldn't you try? Would you try human flesh if it was offered to you?
I don't think so.
Yes? Maybe. I'm a risky eater. I might. I don't know. It depends on the situation, I think.
Who was it? I think that would be important.
Alfred Packer.
I would need to know that it was like a human cultivated in a farm or something, so it was like organic, and I don't want like weird.
Yeah, you want free-range human?
I want free-range human. I don't want slaughterhouse sad human. Mm-mm.
Yeah, they need to have their ears tagged and with a number that I can trace back to the source. I need to...
I would like David. He sounds nice.
David was raised in a cage-free environment and was allowed to roam.
Could you imagine
his bedroom
that, like,
and living room?
Have I seen this sketch before somewhere?
He had a great childhood until we killed him to make
his
him into a burger.
But then couldn't take care of him financially.
They couldn't. They had a second mortgage, and they said we have to pay it off.
Oh my gosh! This would be the awful way that someone in the '90s would have adapted Swift's A Modest Proposal. This is what they would have turned it into, though. But they would have done, their Lawnmower Man version of...
No, they should have waited till like, mid-2000s and used the housing crisis so parents are just selling their kids to stay afloat in their McMansions.
But they would have
I've got to go write this.
That they was would have made it in 1994, and it'd be like, in the year 2001.
That's how the people in Attack on Titan got into the military corps. Their parents sold them to the military to fight the Titans because they couldn't afford to feed them.
What good are children if we cannot sell them for something?
We did not euthanize David with any solution. He was smothered with a pillow lovingly.
No. That they need to have a happy death, because I was reading the other day that when you shoot them maybe in the back so they don't see it coming, so there's no shock to their system, so their meat stays as happy as possible.
David was kept from his parents and then shown his parents right as the bullet entered his head.
I think David had to be kosher or halal, so just slice his throat while he's facing the right direction.
I'm so excited. I can't wait to eat David.
We've taken these ISIS members off the streets and put them in our slaughterhouses.
I feel like they would taste better.
They would definitely taste
Farm
better.
To table.
No, it would be training grounds to table.
Yeah, there you go. No, don't see Return of the Living Dead 2. It's fine. Don't.
See the movie we just made up.
Yes.
Yeah, it's way better.
Write the script right now. Copyright 2015 podcast.
It'd just be called David.
Yes. I'm going to write this. It's going to be a short because I don't have that much free time. I'm going to write this.
It's fine.
I'm going to enter it into your film festival, Brian. You have to accept it because
we don't
friends.
Do a screenplay competition.
No, I'm going to film it too. I'm going to use Noah as David.
Oh, yeah.
Because he'll scream. He'll scream. So it'll be perfect.
We didn't know the gun was loaded.
Oh my god!
Yeah, right.
Oh, I don't want some sort of terrible crow sitch. I just want to make a movie.
We'll do it. I mean, I can't promise you'll get in, but we'll see how it happens.
No, I need you to promise I'll get in.
We'll see how the judging goes.
Man, wouldn't that be a tense podcast? We announced everything, not yours.
Ryan, can I have my money back for submitting it?
It didn't really work that way. Good friend award. Good friend award.
Right. I liked it. It was the other people who said no.
Yeah, can we get the birthday present we got your kid back, please? I need some cash.
All right, guys. Stay tuned for Lona's short story, David. I'm Brian.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Drew.
I'm Lona, author of David.
And thanks for listening to the Horrible Podcast. We'll talk to you next time.